His name for his goodness, his grace and mercy. Let me begin by quickly I tell you what, technology is something. It's good, it works good when it's good, but when it's not, it's I don't know. Anyway, God is still good, right? So I just want to just share with you really quickly. I want to invite you all to come along. I know from time to time when I have this privilege to be able to come before you to try to encourage all of you to dig into the Word and Scripture, to not just spend time in the Word on your own, but also to join in with your brothers and sisters as we come together from time to time. And that is on Sunday mornings, 9:30, here at White Marsh Baptist Church. I know George reminded you this morning, through those double doors, first door on the left, we have Sunday morning Sunday school. And then also on Wednesdays, we come together. We have been opening the doors on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock to be able to come along for some who are willing to come along. And we come here in the sanctuary, and then also I usually sit where Mitch is sitting, and we have offered through Zoom as well for those of you who may want to be at home, and you can do that. And then we pull it all up on the screen, so we're studying the Word together. if you share your email address with me, I'll send an invite to invite you along to come along through Faith Life here at White Marsh Baptist Church. If you're interested as well, I will also send an invitation for the White Marsh Baptist Church Bible study on Wednesday nights, where we're studying. We actually are going to begin a new study in the book of, there's a book that we're going to study through, a book called Supernatural, that we'll begin to dig into. And then it'll probably be like a 10-week study to go through, quite interesting, something that some years ago before my pastor had gone home to be with the Lord, we would discuss certain things and things of that nature, and so I wanted to kind of, and I've been studying a little bit more about it as well. If you're interested in those things, if you show up on Wednesday, we'll discuss them. If you're interested and you're not tied in or locked into Logos Bible software, you can we'll certainly get you connected with that as well, because we'll also use a lot of the original language of the Bible. When you start reading the Bible and studying it in the original language, you'll begin to start seeing some things that maybe you haven't seen by just reading it in the English as well. So it's very interesting, fun to learn. We try to, it's an interactive Bible study. I know I do most of the talking and teaching and things of that nature, but everyone also has an opportunity to be able to share some insights. The way we're going to set it up is we read the material and answer questions, and then we discuss as we come together, discuss questions, and as folks may have some other questions, jot those things down, and we'll discuss them as well. That'll be on Wednesdays, but please be sure to make sure that I have your email address, so I can make sure that I send you an invite to come to join us, to be a part of it. It's important for us, my brothers and sisters, to study God's Word. It really is. We become more intimate. We get to know Him. We get to understand His will for our lives. We talked about that a little bit last week. Right up there on the board, on the screen there, those are the wrong verses. I don't know what happens. Sometimes it doesn't updated or anything, but we're going to be in Romans today. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I love you all, and I'm very thankful that you all are good to go, and you all are praying for me as well. So Romans chapter 5, so don't pay attention to that. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And from time to time, I like to go here because I think it's important for us to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. And as we are growing together in our faith together, guess what? We are reminded of the access that we have in this relationship that we have, this intimate relationship we have with God Almighty. We belong to the creator of the universe. That's amazing. It is. It really is amazing. That we are truly loved and we are provided for and cared for by the one who sees everything, knows all things, right? Nothing makes it by him. And all of the struggles that we may face and we go through in life, guess what? He knows about it all. And he knows exactly what it's going to take. And sometimes when we hit those moments in life, my brothers and sisters, those things God allows to happen because he is molding us and he's shaping us to be more like Jesus. He's preparing us to be participants in his plan and his will for our lives. And that excites me, right? To no end. And it should excite you in the same manner. To know that we are just, listen, God sees me as well as he sees you if you have given your life to Christ. He sees you not as some wretched sinner, but he sees you as one of his very own that has been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You have been justified. We're able to come to his throne, the throne of the King of Kings. We sang about it, right? The God of gods, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I mean, we should be excited about this stuff. So we're going to talk about the fact that we are justified by faith because we believe, we rely upon him, we trust in him, we depend upon him. And I'm not here standing here saying that everything in life is going to go great all the time, you know, because we know life brings its challenges and its obstacles and things of nature. We know that. But we do know that God is right there with us. And there may be some folks in your life that don't care anything about what's happening in your life, but guess what? God cares. And that is good to know. So chapter 5, beginning with verse 1 to verse 11. And I apologize about that. I'm sorry. All right. Everyone's with me? All right. Do me a favor, Miss. Go ahead and switch it and see what's showing up on there. I just want to see something real quick. Okay, yes, it's all wrong. All right. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, amen, somebody, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What a gift. For while we were still weak, my brothers and sisters, at the right time, what's the right time? God's time. Christ died for the ungodly. Who's that? That's us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to even die. But God shows his love for us. That while we were still sinners. Did you get that? Yeah. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life, the resurrection. Jesus is alive, my brothers and sisters. More than that, we also shall rejoice. We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you do. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 My brothers and sisters, if you don't already know, I'm here to tell you today that you are justified. You are in right standing if you have put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and what he has done on your behalf. You are justified by faith. And you may say, well, what does that mean? I'll tell you that justification brings a changed relationship between us and God. It's quite obvious by the terminology that the Apostle Paul uses that the relationship that we once had with God was severed because of the reality of sin. It became a broken relationship. But yet God found in his mercy and his grace the fact that he loves us. And that's the motivation. That's the reason why in which God did what he did, is because he was motivated through his holiness, right? Motivated by his love for us. The fact that when he created us, we were created as his images, the very image of God. We are, my brothers and sisters, whether you believe it or not, or whether you may seem to say, well, I don't look like it right now, you are the crown of his creation. Yeah, that's right. Give him praise. He deserves it. And God chose to reconcile this relationship through what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. And I'm glad about it. You see, I know without a shadow of a doubt. And listen, it's not about me, but I'm just telling you about how I feel. No matter what ever happens to me, I know that I will spend all of eternity, right, with my Heavenly Father. You see, that eternal gift of salvation belongs to me because of what Jesus has done on my behalf. Now, there's plenty of benefits to being those who have been justified by faith, those who are children of the Most High God, knowing that we are able to know that we have this reconciled relationship with our Heavenly Father, one being the fact that we have peace with God. Peace with God. We're no longer his enemies. We're no longer weak without him, because we are with him now. We have this relationship that has been mended together, that was once severed apart, broken apart. It was a relationship that had fallen apart because of disobedience and sin, and had trickled down through all of humanity. Remember, the Bible tells us, Paul writes in Romans, he says, by through one man, death came in. But guess what? Through Christ, life now comes in. We've all been given brand new life because of Jesus and his awesome and merciful and gracious sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And better than that, my brothers and sisters, listen, Jesus is not laying in some grave or some tomb anywhere. Jesus has risen from the dead. Because of the power of his resurrection, we have now been saved from the wrath of God to come. Yes, salvation is ours because of Jesus Christ. And we have peace with God. We are in partnership with God. That's what God has always intended for humanity. And we have the assurance of his forgiveness. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm a cry baby. We have access into his presence no matter where we are. It's not limited to these four walls. Isn't that awesome? But I'm at work. I've got access. When I'm at home, I've got access. While I'm in my car and I'm driving down the road, I've got access. When I'm in Walmart, every week, sometimes three times a week, listen, I've got access. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And because we know that we are his children, he listens like the way in which I listen to my own children. And I have my own children, their interests and mine. I know that he has my interests and mine. And we experience the hope of his glory. Yeah. It's called by many Bible teachers and Bible students, it is called the already but not yet. You see, we what God has done through his son Jesus Christ is he has certainly given to us all that belongs to him. Now, it may not look like that right now because we do live in this world. And this world is going to bring its trials and its suffering. It's going to bring those things. But that's, I believe, my brothers and sisters, now, we should know by now that those things come to ultimately make us stronger, to make us better, right? To overcome. Because everyone that comes, that we come in contact with now, we are witnesses to them of God's goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love, his compassion, right? We can share those things with the people around us, right? We are witnesses to God's kingdom. That's who we are. That's what it means to be an image of God. We are his representation in the earth. You see, people on the outside need to know, those who don't know Christ need to know Christ. They need to know that they are loved and that they are cared for and that God has a better life for them, has an intention for them to enjoy his peace that we enjoy. The hope of his glory and the joy that surpasses all understanding, right? Paul writes, he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. It is through him that we have obtained access by faith. My brothers and sisters, it belongs to us because God chose to give it to us as a gift. Can't buy it. Truth be told, we can't even afford it, right? Because literally, it would cost us our life. And that's why Jesus came. We are set free from condemnation. Oh, this is good. We are set free from condemnation. And from the dominion of sin. You see, sin has no longer a grip over our life because of what Jesus has done. And no more are we condemned any longer. And sometimes in life we get it confused. We get conviction by the Spirit of God who lives within us. We confuse it and we think that God condemns us. But God does not condemn us because God is the one who has rescued us. He's the one who has set us free. He's the one who has sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to do what he did on our behalf. So God will never condemn us. He does convict. And that is to bring us back in line, to bring us back down that path that he desires for us to walk down so we can live this life of reconciliation, this fellowship and intimacy with God that he established, cost him his son's life. And sin no longer has its grip on us. if we walk the way in which God has called us to walk. Romans chapter 8 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, and he is, my brothers and sisters, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? That's a rhetorical question. It is God who justifies us. Who is to get condemned? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised. There's the resurrection, my brothers and sisters. Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding on our behalf. I told you there's no condemnation. That's what Romans 8:1 says. There is no condemnation for now for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Yes, you and I have been set free through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 6:14, for all sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but you are under grace. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not smart enough. This is the word of Almighty God. It's right here in his holy word. Romans 6:17-18, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and have now been set free from sin and have become slaves not to sin but to righteousness. This is all about a changed life, my brothers and sisters. Number three, we have been adopted into the family of God and are declared righteous in his sight. This may sound strange to some, but listen to what Paul writes. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. Ladies, don't be offended. Listen. Let me put it this way. That word in its original language, children. Because we're all children. And the Spirit of God reminds us that we are his. Now watch this. By whom we cry, the word is Abba, Father. You know what that is? My kids don't, hi, Father. They don't. They know I'm their father. But they don't call me Father. You know what they call me? Daddy. It's intimacy. Okay? And the Spirit of God who lives within each of us who have called upon his name, guess what? It cries out to our Heavenly Father, Daddy. I'm not making this stuff up. This is right, it's right here. I'm reading it to you. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. What is his is ours. Provided we suffer with him, See? This life is not going to always be easy, my brothers and sisters. If Christ suffered, listen, guess what? We're going to suffer. In order that we may also be what? Glorified with him. See, some of us, we just want the glory, but we don't want the suffering. But listen, Jesus is the perfect example. We've got to follow him. He is the example that we follow. We want to be everything that he has called us to be. Amen. Paul doesn't stop there in Romans. He says it in Galatians 4, 6 and 7. He says, and because you are sons, children of God, God has sent his spirit, the spirit of his son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are heir through God. this is awesome stuff. And I get excited about it, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Beautiful stuff. And the final thing that I want to cover with you today is that now that we are justified through faith. We are, I believe that, and there's more scripture to it, but we don't have the time. But watch this. Now that we understand, I'm starting to understand more and more of who we are. Listen, what are the expectations for us? Well, we are called to do what? To practice what we preach. To walk the walk. That's how we are the greatest witnesses for the kingdom of God to the people around us. And listen, the world is not going to treat you all good and kind and things of nature. They're not going to, you know, be big fans of Jesus Christ. It's not the most popular thing to be a Christian, but that's okay. They don't know. Just like at one point in my life, I didn't know. Before I became a Christian, I would argue with my ex-brother-in-law who was a Christian at the time. And guess what? I would spit and turn red in the face and tell him about he worshiping more than one God and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm telling you the truth now. Until I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I thank God every day I did. I was ignorant. And many times I was just plain stupid. But now I know Jesus. And you know Jesus. And my life was changed. And your life is now changed. So James says it this way. And people like to try to play James and Paul and try to act like this is a contradiction. But it's not. You know, James said, listen, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then people should know it by the way in which you live your life. He wasn't talking about you being saved by your works. He was just saying your works and the way you live your life should be proof of the fact that you are changed from the inside. He says you see a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In other words, if I say that I have faith and I'm just living any old way I want to and I'm mistreating people and stuff like that, then you would ultimately question, is he really saved? And James is saying, listen, the way you live and the works that you put out should be proof of the salvation within you. And that's truth. Paul said, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? He says, by no means. I don't think so. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Either you are a slave to sin, which ultimately will lead to death, or you are a slave to obedience, which will lead to righteousness. In other words, we ought to be practicing what we preach. We ought to be living this thing out. Because ultimately, my brothers and sisters, listen, we are not only justified by faith, but we are witnesses of the kingdom of Almighty God. And we are always to strive to bring glory and honor and praise to our King. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us give the Lord a hand clap of praise and bless his name. Amen. God is good. If you all would stand to your feet for a moment, amen, if you're able. We have this wonderful privilege as a body of believers to extend an invitation to those who are here today who may have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Listen, you have a wonderful privilege right now, and that is to be able to surrender your life to Christ. You may be watching in, and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have a wonderful privilege to do so today. In fact, the Bible tells us to let this day be the day of your salvation. In other words, choose Jesus Christ, not tomorrow, today. Because we're not promised tomorrow. We aren't. And you may say, well, how do I do such a thing? I mean, is it coming to church every week? Is it teaching a certain amount of Bible studies each week? No, the Bible says if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, In other words, you believe the gospel. You shall be saved. No question about it. But the choice is yours to make. So I want to encourage you. I want to, like Paul, I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Surrender your life to Christ today. If that is you, will you come forward? Surrender your life? Maybe you don't want to come forward. That doesn't exempt you from salvation. You can stand right where you are. And if you sincerely, within your heart of hearts, surrender your life to Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sin, and you recognize your sinfulness and your need for a Savior, and you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart, then heaven is your home. Salvation is yours. If you're at home and you're watching in and you're listening in and you made that decision for Jesus Christ today, then you are a child of the Most High God. Now, we would like to contact you. We don't want to bug you, but we'd like to reach out to you because we want to pray for you. And maybe you're looking for a church home, a place where you can plant your feet. White Marsh Baptist Church is a great place to begin that journey, and we'd love to be a part of it. You can contact us by emailing us at wmbcva1@gmail.com and leave us your information, and we will reach out to you. And we will also be in prayer for you as well. You can come by way of letter, by way of Christian experience, by way of baptism. Is there one? Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for all that is taking place on this day. We thank you for grace and for mercy. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to just be witnesses of your kingdom and what you have done on our behalf and how you have rescued us and saved our lives and changed our lives. To be those witnesses to remind the world around us, Lord God, that there's a God who loves them and cares for them and who has paid a high price for them to experience new life and to obtain eternal salvation. Lord, we thank you, and we ask, Lord, that you will forgive us of any sins that we have committed. And we know, Lord, that when we confess, that you are faithful and just to forgive. It is in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray, as we depart from this place, never from your presence, that we ask that you will grant us travel mercies and keep us safe, that you will continue to lead, guide, and direct our path. It is in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.